You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, I'll give you a pick on LSU Auburn. You'll hear from Mike Dettillier, but we'll start, as we do on Fridays, with a clip from our chat with our friend Ryan Clark, former LSU safety, of course, ESPN, NFL, and college football analyst. And I have a chance to visit with Ryan every week. And something Ryan pointed out the week after LSU won the national championship was that if he were Jacoby Stevens, he would walk into Ed Orgeron's office and say, move me to linebacker. Because his feeling was Jacoby Stevens is a linebacker at the next level, and that's where he will best be able to show off his skill set. Well, you fast forward to this year, and it's been pretty clear. LSU has struggled at safety, and on the back end, they've also struggled at linebacker. So I asked Ryan if perhaps part of LSU's defensive issues right now were guys like Stevens playing out of place.
Not the whole part, right? I think that's a Jacoby Stevens part of it, but I don't necessarily believe that's the whole part, right? Derek Stingley's supposed to play corner. Elias Ricks supposed to play corner. Cordell Flott supposed to be in the slot. Damone Clark can only play one position. Gabriel Cox, I guess, can only play the position that he's playing. And then you look at the defensive line, it is what it is. I think when you have a piece like Jacoby, though, it's important that he plays the right spot. It's important that you use his physical attributes, his athleticism, in the correct way. I think you lose a piece of that trying to have him play on the outskirts of the defense or on the second level, or I guess would be the third level of the defense in the secondary. I don't think that's the place for him. So you don't necessarily have a safety that you can match up in the coverages on slot receivers. You don't necessarily have a safety that you want playing the middle of the field. So essentially, you're going to end up dropping him a lot of times anyway. And then in dropping him, he has to understand those fits, right? If you look at some of the runs that were created by South Carolina last week, they were created because of bad fits. Life goes on the player in football and also the coach. How do you get players to not fit things the wrong way? You coach them better. You teach them better. They understand those things. And obviously that's not something we have right now at LSU. And so I just always thought that was a better space for Jacoby. I thought that part of why Grant was had to be used in such a different way last year was Jacoby Stevens. I'm going to be honest. I say a lot of smart football things on your show.
You've been known to from time to time.
I've been known to from time to time. If you recall, coming into last year, after I finished singing my Joe Burrow praises, I said the defense would start slow, and I said that our offense, LSU's offense, would have to carry the defense early on in the season. I would like to say to that I was not wrong.
Fact. That's a fact.
I also said there's going to be a really huge missing piece of the defense last year that people didn't think would be a huge piece. And I said that would be John Battle. And I was also not wrong again. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, I knew that Jacoby would have to play and that Grant would have to do some things that John did that wouldn't allow Grant to be the Grant Delpit from the year before. I was not wrong. Mm-hmm. When I said Jacoby should walk into the office for Jacoby, not for LSU, Jacoby should walk into the office and say, I want to be moved to Will linebacker, I was also not wrong that day. And so now you find yourself in the place, though, to where you've coached up defense, you've planned defense around playing it this way. So now you got to coach it better. Now you have to scheme it better. Now you have to call it better. And so I think that's where LSU finds itself. Here's the good thing. Auburn's not very good on offense. You know, and when I came to you last week and we talked about South Carolina, what did I say the issue would be? The run game. Mm-hmm. I knew LSU would have no problems stopping the pass game. And so I believe LSU wins this game. I believe Auburn is a good matchup for LSU offensively. I think the defense will play better than we've seen them play. They'll give up points, but I don't think they pose the threat on the outside that LSU should be scared. Bo Nix is an average quarterback. The route runners that they have, obviously Schwartz is world-class fast as far as you talk about football. But I think you can match up with him on the outside. Their biggest big-time receiver is a high-point go ball catcher. We watched Derek Stingley lock him up last year. And so I think we stop him enough to win the game and at least alleviate some of the pressure on the defense just based off of a matchup.
Is it possible at this point in the season, is it even possible to move Jacoby Stevens to linebacker?
No, I don't think so now. I don't think it's something that they would want to do, you know? So with that, I think you just try to figure it out. Yeah. Cox is somebody they really like. Damone Clark will be here next year, so I don't think you want to move him out. I don't know if you have that other piece at Mike linebacker. And also, too, I think with the way they are playing Jabril Cox, that Jacoby Stevens could play that position. But you also have to think about, you know, what the learning curve would be, what it would be like in that traffic each and every play for him when it hasn't been something that they were working on throughout the offseason. I think the other thing could be play a lot of dime, right? So if you play a lot of dime package, bring another safety on the field, then your only question is, can they hold up in a run? And, you know, I'm not necessarily sure Bo Pelini and the staff feel like that, you know, what they want to do moving forward.
What are your thoughts, last thing in this segment, what are your thoughts on Jordan Toles, who's a freshman that came in much ballyhooed that we haven't really seen very much? Is he a guy that might be able to add, you know, some rotation to this defense?
I can be 100% honest with you. I don't know much about the kid.
Okay.
Obviously, I understand, like, I actually know who trains him because the guy talks to me. I talk to the guy pretty frequently on social media. I know about him as far as him being a top notch as far as football players go, Hooper. And so that lets you know a little bit about his athleticism. He's obviously a huge recruit. But I don't know how good he is as opposed to Mo or as opposed to Todd or as opposed to Jacoby, you know, and I don't necessarily know if he gives you that different skill set you're looking for at that position. Like, the positions are about skill set, right? Like, what's your skill set? What does it allow us to do schematically that's different, you know? And if he can't do that, then you don't want to necessarily go younger and less experienced if you're not going more athletic and position versatile.
That makes sense.
And so, you know, me not having those particulars, I can't really say if he's a guy that can do that.
So we still have a lot of ground to cover here on the Friday edition of the Locked In LSU podcast. In a bit, you'll hear Mike Dettillier's analysis of LSU-Auburn, and I'll give you my pick as well. We're brought to you by Built Go. Built Go is the solution to help you break through your wall. Listen, if you're like me and so many others, either in the morning you need that shot of caffeine, or maybe it's that mid-afternoon feeling. I do a radio show that starts at 3 o'clock every day, and every single day around 2:30, boom, I need that caffeine boost to get me through the day. If you need that energy boost, let Built Go help get you through that wall, mental or physical wall. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like the energy shots without the crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's got the good stuff in it, like B6 and B12 and B3 and honey. It's got a kick of caffeine as well, but it's got collagen to promote healthy joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff that literally makes you look better, too. It's Built Go. Check them out online at BuiltGo.com. That's B-U-I-L-T-G-O, BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED and get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order at BuiltGo.com. BuiltGo, let's go. And while you're at it, might as well pick up some ice-cold Coors Light as well. When you get over from BuiltGo, get on over to get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com. Let's say it's Saturday. Your feet are up. You're about to watch the Tigers play, and you realize you're out of beer. This is a disaster. How could you possibly let this happen? How could you possibly not have beer in the fridge? That's an awful scenario to unfold. So I got a solution. You can't go to the store. The game's about to start. Just log on. Get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com. and they'll have Coors Light delivered in the new look straight to your door. When you need to unwind, when you're kicking your feet up to watch the game, choose Coors Light. When you need to hit reset, get the beer that's made to chill, the beer that is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's Coors Light. Get.coorslight.com. Remember, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. So not only do we talk to Ryan Clark, we also talk to football analyst Mike Dettillier and chatted with Mike about how different this Auburn game might feel. Heard a really interesting stat today that in the history of the LSU-Auburn series, the total combined points has only gone over 65 twice, ever. One of them was in 2015, that crazy Leonard Fournette game where he's flipping dudes over his shoulders. Bottom line is, we usually don't see a lot of offense, but this is one of those games where we're probably going to see a lot of offense, and I asked Mike if he agreed.
Absolutely. I thought the exact same thing. From years past, I mean, it was a play or two that decided it. And we all remember, you know, man, DJ catches that punt. And yeah. He was like, man, what are you doing? And it's like, no. And it was like, go with it. And, you know, it broke the game open. You know, and then the year, you know, 2 years ago, you know, it came down to that field goal, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was good before the referees had their hands up just by Gordy Rush. Gordy put his hands up before the official did. You know, and you saw last year, I mean, that was a slugfest, I mean, between those two teams. But this is going to be different, totally different. The good Auburn teams have always been able to run the football. And last week was the first time I saw this year that they actually put an emphasis on trying to run it. Bigsby's a really good running back. I mean, really good. Man, and I see the holes that, you know, especially on the edge plays. For man, I'm going after them that way. And I'm going after them deep with Seth and Swartz. So it's going to be interesting to see who makes the big mistake here to break it open. Because this is going to be a close game between the two. And, man, Auburn's had a horseshoe up the right side. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, you can't win games like this consistently. Like they've done against Arkansas, last week against Ole Miss, redoing the LSU South Carolina on the pregame show, and Charlie was like, "Mike, you sure he touched it?" I said, "Man, I got a good TV. I know he touched it. I know he touched it. There was no question about it." But eventually, if you play long enough, the odds equal itself out. You're going to get something happen the other way here. But Auburn showed a little bit of life offensively last week, certainly getting Seth Williams. To me, I think they got to revolve this offense around Bigsby running the football, and they got to get the football to Seth Williams. They got it to him 8 times. They tried 10 times, but he made 8 catches last week, almost 17 yards a catch. Seth mm-hmm. Williams is a big-time player, mm-hmm. great speed, can really run, and he is built. So, man, you best not try to arm tackle him. You better bring him down and fast. And Bigsby's no small guy. And, man, he can run. And he's got excellent speed, and he runs with power, too. So I agree with you. I think it's going to come down to the end, and who probably has the ball last with an opportunity to score. It's going to be a totally different feel from the LSU-Auburn games from years past where you knew – this was going to be a 20s-type game. I don't think this is going to be a 20s game.
Or 7-3. I mean.
I don't think you're going to see those 20s games Saturday afternoon. Really don't. I think this is a game that gets into the 30s because I don't think either defense is going to do a really good job stopping one another. So you know what? It's a new way to win for LSU. If that's how it's got to be done. But you know what? Just put a W up on the board. You got a couple weeks off. Then you staring at Alabama. But you know what? A win over Auburn on their home turf would mean a lot for this football team. Because I think the South Carolina was a feel-good game. Okay, it made you feel good. You bounced back. You fought adversity. You fought a lot of things. People were, oh, they ain't going to win but one game this year, and they got it. Okay, you beat South Carolina. You now beat Auburn. On their turf. And for whatever reason, you know, since that crazy game that literally was the reason why they let Les loose,
mm-hmm.
LSU's done pretty well against Auburn. You know, Ed and his staff have matched up well against Auburn, but they've been tight games, and I suspect it'll be a tight game again this coming Saturday.
Mike, what do you think about T.J. Finley making his first road start against this defense?
To me, I think it's going to be how well he handles what Kevin's going to throw at him. Castillo, again, he's a little bit like Muschamp in that he's trying to fool you. He's trying to get you to see something that's not quite there, and it's almost a mirage. The one thing, and I'll say it again, I thought Steve and Russ did a tremendous job of setting up plays that TJ was very comfortable with, and he knew where to go with the football. And so, you know, Kevin gave Burrow more trouble than anybody else. Okay, but bottom line, for all this stuff about all these other coordinators, who gave Joe Burrow more trouble?
No doubt.
It was Kevin Steele. But here's the deal. He don't have that talent anymore. You know, Marlon Davidson and Derrick Brown, they're not on that football team anymore. So it's different, especially when you can rush four guys and drop seven in coverage. They have not been able to do that this year. Just they can't get a pass rush. So my thing about it is, if you're not rushing T.J. Finley, you got some issues. And again, he's going to make mistakes. That's what freshman quarterbacks do. But if you don't put some pressure on him and they come up with a game plan knowing where he's got to go with the football, Auburn's defense is going to get spanked a little bit. But you know what? Did you see anything Saturday night to make you believe that Nix and Williams and Bigsby won't have big games either?
Mike, I'm in complete agreement with you. That part of the equation terrifies me. I don't know. I think this is like a 38-34 type game. I mean, I think you're talking upper 30s.
I agree. Here's my deal. You know what settles it normally, things like this? Special teams. Who makes the big play? Mm. And my thing is, and I know Condon, he's been hollering about the kickoff return. and Richard finally got it. Richard finally got one. But, man, boy, if I could have saved that for Saturday. You know, because I do think that part of the game is going to play a huge part in who wins. The punting, the kicking, the return game, shortening up the field for the quarterbacks. I just think when you look at it, how they matched, it comes down to who can make a play or two on special teams. And look at what's happened throughout the years to kind of give you that chalk, field goal. You know, the following year on the final play to win it. And so I kind of believe that's what you're going to see again. So, you know, load up on, you know, whatever you want to eat, if it's Domino's or Pizza Hut or wings and everything else, because I think you'll be there to the end, because I think it'll be one of those type games.
Wrapping up a Friday edition on the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day, and glad to have you aboard with us if you've not done so yet. Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you use. Like us, rate us, review us on iTunes. We appreciate all that greatly as we continue to grow. Last thing left to do here is to give you a pick on LSU and Auburn, and I like the Tigers, the LSU Tigers. I've vacillated a bit on this pick because I generally don't like LSU going to Auburn, although they did win there 2 years ago on the Cole Tracy kick. If you remember back in 2016, that was the last game that Les Miles coached and LSU lost. And then in 2014, of course, was the Brandon Harris game where LSU struggled mightily. LSU won there in 2012 in one of the grossest games ever. 2010, they lost, obviously, in the Cam Newton great year. 2008, LSU at Auburn, that was the Jarrett Lee comeback. 2006 was the early Doucette, phantom flag. 2004, LSU lost on the leverage penalty. You get the drift here. It's been really hard for LSU to win at Jordan-Hare Stadium. If this were a packed house, if this were a raucous Jordan-Hare in a normal year with LSU taking a freshman quarterback on the road, I would feel awful about LSU's opportunity to win this game. What I know is Auburn's defense is not good. They've allowed yards and points to everybody they played, and LSU scoring 42 a game right now. LSU's athletes are too much. Auburn's defense is in a very similar spot to LSU's. LSU is going to score a lot of points. I'll put it to you this way. I also think that this is a game where Auburn is going to score as well. My feeling last year all throughout the season with LSU was every time I'd pick a game, I continuously, even though I thought I was calibrating and compensating for LSU's improved offense, I was still undervaluing the offense and overvaluing the defense. And LSU's defense really started slow. I'm not doing that again this year. LSU's defense is not good, and the offense is great, and they're going to score a lot of points, and they're going to give up a lot of points. I like LSU. I like this over the total. I like LSU 38-34. A lot of points, back and forth. Whoever has the ball last wins. I'm going to take LSU 38-34 to beat Auburn Saturday on the Plains. That would send LSU, obviously, into its open date with 2 weeks to prepare for Alabama in Tiger Stadium. And we will certainly be back on Monday recapping the action from the Plains, and we'll see you then. Locked on LSU, your team every day.